Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time on a Sunday to listen to our radio show. I am Ray Smith. I'm with my wife, Sandra Johnson, and we have our guest host, who always kind enough to stay with us, and that's John McClain.
Oh, it's always such a pleasure.
And today, we're going to talk about Windows. You may not think it's exciting, but we think it's going to be really, really exciting. So we have the owner of All American Windows and Doors, Keith Regina. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah. It's good to see you.
We know that you're a Tucson guy, so let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, a little about myself is I born and raised here, went to a small school, Grace Christian. It's not there anymore. Kindergarten through eighth grade. Shared with all of America. Kindergarten twice. We'll just keep that.
That'll be our secret.
Mom said it's because I was small, but I saw the group picture and I was one of the bigger ones in the class.
Well, it paid off you later with sports because you were older than everybody and better developed.
It did. Yeah, I was 25. Yeah,
when
I
graduated.
But so went there. I went to Sal Point Catholic High School, and that was an eye-opening experience. I think just from being a native Tucsonan and being somewhat sheltered, I grew up in Reddington Pass. There weren't many kids out there, so I went and kind of just there wasn't much to do. So
you weren't breaking windows, were you?
Was that how you
got into the industry?
No, I wasn't there. My BB gun wasn't strong enough, I guess. But, did that. I ended up playing baseball. I played baseball for one season at the University of Arizona.
Nice. Uh-huh.
I had a great time. That was probably the biggest issue. I had too good of a time.
Yeah, I bet being a baseball star at the U of A will that'll have the good times coming. Huh?
I didn't say I was a star.
Well, if you play baseball, you just people perceive you as a star. We know the truth.
Yeah, I feel like I was a star off the field.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, and that's probably another one of the problems. But again, being a Tucson native. It may have been a wise decision maybe to get out of town for a little bit and then come back, which I did later. But as God would have it, I met my wife towards the tail end of that at the U of A. She was a Palm girl. I don't know what she saw in me necessarily at that point. I had no upward direction in life going for me. But
you're just using that baseball college thing as long as you possibly could. You got to play that ticket so that 2-0 don't play anymore.
Ooga booga game. I had no
for
game.
For sure, absolutely. I got you.
But my family has been involved in Windows for several generations.
Right.
My family moved here from my dad's side moved here from Pennsylvania in the 60s. Started their Windows here. My grandfather had branched out. He was all over the West. He was in San Francisco, Compton, California. People think what was he doing in Compton? Compton was a very strong industrial area at that point. I asked the same question. Grandpa didn't fit in there too well, in my mind. He was in Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Tucson, and he lived in Tucson. So he did his thing. My dad kind of branched out early 80s and started his... My father has a factory here in town called American Openings, still does, and he's doing really well. He doesn't sell direct to the clients. He's a large manufacturer, so he has a niche business, I would say.
Yeah.
Majority of his stuff goes outside of Tucson.
Mm.
So that's kind of what I knew growing up.
Right.
My father was very instrumental in getting me started as far as... The word nepotism, he is anti-nepotism. He's told me since a very young age, if you want your own, go start your own. This isn't yours. And I respect him for that.
Right.
So I cut my teeth under him. We branched out when I was still working there doing replacement.
Right.
And I like doing that because it was relational. It got me outside the factory a little bit. You can understand a person like me being in the factory, although I loved it and I love everybody there, I think that was, I'm a squirrel. I need to go do things and I move differently.
Right.
So I found my kind of calling doing that and I enjoy it. And I've learned quite a bit over the years. I have a lot of information from over time, what works here and what doesn't.
Yes. Mm.
So,
how long old is your company?
So, we're about 2 years old now.
Great job.
I had started back up again after I sold the company, worked for another, and did my time doing that, and right. started back up about 2 years ago.
Great. Give us the name of it. So I've said it once, but
All American Window and Door.
Great.
And the good part about this is now, you know, I see Sandra and Ray maybe once a week at lunch. We just happen to eat at the same place.
Mm. The Sands.
The Sands. And they've Yum. Noticed, like, you know, certain things. Again, I'm laying off French fries. Certain things, you know, do a little better. But some last little bit is, you know, maybe from baseball or just a little bit about me is I make maybe a couple of New Year's resolutions and I stick by those.
Mm.
So I was trying to do less hair gel and less cologne this year, and eat better. But I have 4 kids, very busy with that. My daughter is at Texas Tech. She made the Palm Line. I miss her greatly.
Nice.
But getting back to this now is Ray and Sandra are, I believe, kind of somewhat pillars in the community as far as...
I agree.
Just good people first off, but and then they happen to be in the real estate. And we've had conversations back and forth about, hey, what do you think about this? Or me asking Ray or Sandra, hey, what do you guys think? What's the market looking like?
Right.
Mm.
And they've been pretty nuts on. Mm. And so...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Again, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the market and some of the shift in the market. We know that the market has shifted, and for a few years even, a lot of sellers haven't been willing to do things like replace windows that have failed or do other repairs at a house. It's kind of been, they've had the upper hand. And those things are shifting, and right now we're seeing houses on the market a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't expect to see prices drastically change. We expect a slowdown in property values. But I think that sellers are going to have to start reconsidering that position. And there are some things like windows that they may be needing to look at doing if they want that property to move in a little bit quicker timeline.
Yes. I mean, you've seen that. We all went through 2007, 2008, where it was hyper build, and that's what created the bubble and the burst. I don't think we're going to, you guys would know better about this once again, but it doesn't feel like that right now. It feels like that things are kind of settling in, but you're right. The windows right now are kind of a big part of what you can do inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
It has to make sense.
Right.
But, you know, there's other ways of, going about it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back with Keith. We're going to talk a little bit about double pane doors, ceilings, cosmetic in nature, talk a little bit about the single pane, and maybe even talk a little about historic buildings that have single pane windows on. You're now listening to the I Am Real Estate Show. You are here with me, Ray Smith, my wife, Sandra Johnson, and my ace, John McClain.
Yeah, he's in the hole.
We'll see you guys on the other side. We are back with Keith, the owner of All American Windows and Doors. And one thing I'm going to talk about when you talk about getting homes and new homes and buying new windows, I saw one of these houses where half of the windows were double pane and half of them were not. Is that a recommendation that you as window guys would recommend to people to do half of your windows?
Well, it doesn't button up the home like it should. People think that by getting a Energy Star rated window, like, okay, hey, it's going to cool off this room, where it actually works all together. You want to button up your home completely. Low E glass, low emisticity, what it's doing is, you picture, okay, it's going to keep the heat out or it's going to keep whatever, but it maintains the temperature of the inside is what it's doing. So a lot of times, you know, budgetary wise too, people will maybe hit their west and their south side of their home.
Okay.
Their north might be positioned where it's not getting a lot of sunlight or something like that. And that, it just depends on the home. Every home is set a little different. Their HVAC is running into a different room where the last room on the on the list isn't getting a lot of AC. So, I mean, there's a lot of different variables in that.
You know, I think we typically tell people if you don't replace all of the windows, you really don't get credit for it as far as, you know, from a buyer coming in saying, hey, it's got new windows. Well, no one comes in and is excited. Oh, it has half new windows. So we always like to see people, if they can afford to do it, do all of the windows.
The key, again, is not overspending. And I think that what we've done a good job with is, you know, there's a couple things that we've advertised in the past about doing this, but when people are looking to upgrade their home or increase the value of their home, there's other, you don't want to overspend. I just said that, but there's some companies that you're going to be paying for their marketing. Mm-hmm. You can't buy $30,000 and make it fit into a 400. You're not going to see that in the appraisal value. So get something, again, an appraiser, you guys know this, once again, is going to look and see if it's dual pane and low E glass. There's three pane glass. There's all sorts of other things. Nobody cares about that. It has to be a dual pane low E, and that's what increases your value. Other than that, you're typically overspending.
Now, when I first met you, it was right after attending a home show, and I did reach out to a couple different companies, and I will never forget that experience because they did come in with a lot of show, if we can say, I think to justify the price of the windows. And I remember when one of the salespeople, I told him, you have an hour of my time. And he said, is there a better time for me to come back or call you? I said, no, you don't understand. This is not, you know, a big thing here. I have seven windows. You should be able to come up with a price in an hour. And if not, then you're not the right fit for me. And I love the way that you were just straightforward. You know, you talked about there aren't a lot of differences in the quality.
There really aren't.
Yeah, and I appreciated that.
Brand to brand. You know, the problem is time is valuable.
Right.
There are some people that want to extend it out, and typically I've had appointments where people want me over, and then they want to show me their kegerator that they built. but, you know, when you go over and you want windows, you want to know, they ask you what time it is. They don't ask you how the watch was formed and built. So I would say we're probably more for a serious a customer that's ready to do it. We don't offer any gimmicks, meaning, you know, we're not going to give you a gas card or throw something in there. There's really no point. They're going to pay for that at some point anyhow.
Right.
Yeah, and a thing that really intrigues me about your story, Keith, is, I mean, I'm a fourth generation military. You know, you hear of like a third generation shoemakers, third generation, you know, as an HVAC, because my dad did it, my grandpa did it. And I've never met anybody that's like multi-generational window guy. And it's just kind of the story alone is amazing. But how would you say that gives you kind of an edge in dealing with some of the window issues people have in comparison to the other companies from your experience?
Well, again, you're right. The history of it, first off, my mother is native here. Mom is from the Amato family, and I've got a lot of family on my mother's side that have explained to me how some of these homes were built. And a lot of these older homes were built how they should be in Tucson. The streets are east-west. The houses are on the north and the south of it with not a lot of exposure to the west or east, not catching it. The sun going right over the roofs. As the newer construction has come in, they're spread out all across the land, and you've got some homes that are complete east-west exposure. I have a house like that. I never thought I would get one, but it was a good deal, so I did. but the home, each home is going to determine what goes in there. There's no. That's why we go look. A lot of people want to come into the showroom and look and. You know, that's good. We'll have a cup of coffee, but we really need to look at the home because each one is different. Your guys' experience too might be the same street cul-de-sac. It might be just a little bit different.
Right.
Different importance.
We are here with Keith Regina, who is the president and owner of All American Windows and Doors. Hey, Keith, can you tell us how people can get a hold of you as far as your email address and phone number?
Email address is, it's on our website. It's www.allamericanwindowanddoor.com. www.keithgenius.com. The phone number to reach is 520-955-4862.
Do you have any tips for homeowners?
I mean, if somebody's looking to do it or looking at their home, single pane windows, it's always a good time to replace, because the value of your home, you know, what we've done is we've got a good deal where we can replace the windows. The appraisal value will come in greater than the window cost. So you've already made money by doing it.
Okay.
Then you can.
But the savings as well.
Exactly. And energy is not going down. The cost of energy is kind of a losing battle right now. But
right.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do anything to fix that, replacing the windows is a great thing to do for appraisal, for your home, for comfort.
Mm-hmm. Now, we see a lot of windows on our repair requests where mm-hmm. the seal has failed. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I work with a select group of realtors. There are a lot to choose from. I would say there's some that are more professional than others, just like anything else.
Right.
But typically a good time to... a lot of the realtors that I work with will have me come look at the home prior to them putting it on the market, or prior to them releasing it before the inspector comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because being that we're considered an expert in that field, we supersede even what the inspector says, mm-hmm. just like right. the plumbing guy. So I run into a lot of stuff, believe it or not, where these homes might be very clean. Right now, like you said, it's the inspectors are paid. They're not going to get hired if they don't write anything down. And there's some iffy stuff sometimes that is written on there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of seals, swiggle failure, where you might have the membrane coming into the view of the glass, those are things that need to be fixed prior to selling the house, because it gives an alert to the potential homeowner or home buyer that this has been, it's not been taken care of.
Mm. You know, the other thing is that usually you're going to have it, take it off the price the house accordingly, and then they're going to ask to repair it anyway. So mm-hmm. you'll pay for it twice.
Pain in the pants.
So thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time and your expertise.
Good seeing you, Keith. Good seeing you.
Thank
buddy.
You guys. I'll see you next week, I'm certain.
Yeah, you're a dynamite. I didn't realize there were such cool people in the window business, but now I know.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying, you know, just even... You'll see him. He jogs up backwards. He'll go up Tumamoc backwards. I have
That's
coffee
never
with Sandra.
Gonna happen.
We just stay at the bottom. We have coffee.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair. All right. We will be back after the break.
Yeah. Yay! Welcome back, everyone. We are excited today to have Steve Ochoa, Sheila and Morgan Chonis. They are the co-founders of Gift. It is a nonprofit organization we're going to discuss about a little bit. And so the first thing I'm going to ask Steve is, what is GIFT? What is the acronym for GIFT?
Well, Ray, the acronym is Giving and Inspiring from the Heart Together. And we sat around this wonderful team here. It happened January 26th of this.
Oh, that's my birthday.
It is? Well, Sandra.
Yeah, that's why they did it.
In,
they did it for your birthday.
In honor of your birthday. We didn't even know it, but, you know. Now we have two things to celebrate, which would be fantastic. But, Ray, all of us are native here in Tucson. I've been very blessed to come from one of the founding families, six generations here.
Hmm.
And I really wanted to do all my life is to, I've always tried to give back to the community, but it's so important that we take care of each other.
Yes.
And those who can't really take care of themselves. And that was the impetus for starting a nonprofit, realizing that we can all contribute irrespective of what it is. It has nothing to do with finance. It could be a smile, it could be a hug, it could be a kind word. And so I am very much indebted
yes.
to Sheila and to Morgan for their expertise and their willing and commitment to make the community a better place to live.
Nice.
That sounds so great. Thank you so much, Steve. And Morgan, with that being said, I don't know how you're going to follow. That was so awesome.
I know, yeah.
But my question
is, let's
just
have Steve talk the rest of the time. Come on.
Morgan, what's the mission?
Our mission is to create generational giving through amplifying other aligned organizations and creating endowments that will continue to give back to the community in perpetuity.
Wow. That's awesome. And then we have Sheila here also. And Sheila, you were talking about the AZPM story?
Yes. So as an example, we have a connection to Arizona Public Media. Mm-hmm. And I have a good friend who works there. And he posted on social media a story about a 10-year-old boy who came in. And he had saved his allowance. And he had $20 to donate. And for us, you know, fundraising and nonprofit, it doesn't matter if it's $20 or $1 million. We celebrate them all.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think I saw this story. Wasn't it a quarter at a time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
So impressive.
He gets a $4 allowance. He saves a dollar for nonprofit. He saves a dollar for himself. And he saves $2 for his college fund.
Wow.
And so at 10 years old, we were so impressed with this young man. So it went viral on social media. So I hopped on and I said, well, how about if I match his $20? Well, then everybody else jumped on board too.
Oh my, that's awesome.
So I'll match it and I'll match it and I'll give $125 and then someone else gave $250.
Wow.
And so we came back and spoke about gift and we decided to give as an organization $500. So all of a sudden it's going around and we're amplifying, you know, this little boy's mission and his, you know, his heart. And so as of today, we're over $1,450.
Wow.
From his $20 gift.
Mm.
So that is what amplifying is. It's just a beautiful concept.
I like that. And it was so simply stated. And so you kind of understand what I mean by amplification. People don't realize that. It just means that everybody's giving on top of giving on top of giving. So one small gift means a lot to everyone else. If everyone's giving this one small gift and for one person's goal. You guys, I'm getting goosebumps. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to Morgan and say, well, Morgan, how can people contribute?
Well, I also want to follow up on the amplification.
Yes,
it's not just financial. It's also awareness. So we've got this beautiful platform of social media channels now.
Right.
So everything we're doing, every layer is also sharing.
Uh-huh.
So AZPM, for example, just shared this story, and then we've shared it. Now all of these people shared it, and this mission has now gone viral.
Wow.
That's the perfect example of the awareness amplification that we're promoting. So it's twofold. So it's the financial and awareness of these organizations in our community.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you. So
this is like taking matching funds to a whole new level.
A whole new level.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excuse me. I like that because it's not matching funds. I like the word you use. You use the word amplifying. So even though they're synonyms, they're not, because you just, what you're doing is just seems that you printed a little extra on it. So I'm sorry, I just thought that was awesome.
A little extra sparkle on top.
Yes, right? Yes, yes, yes.
So the way that people can get involved is giftarizona.org/support outlines all of the ways that you can join us. And we've made it very easy, so whatever your flavor is, you can participate. So one-time gifts, monthly gifts, we can do planned giving.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping organizations create matching with their companies, team giving. So we've partnered with a real estate team and they give a portion. Part of their ethos is a portion of their commission every quarter.
Wow.
And so their company now matches that. Gift now matches. We've created amplified giving three times over for the organizations that they support and that they choose every quarter. So that's just another example. And then we also have created, as I mentioned before, our legacy endowment. So people can also contribute to that. And as that continues to grow, that will be giving in perpetuity for forever.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I'll be back on here. The question is, how is things progressing so far, you feel, as though, as starting such in January? I mean, this is only September.
Well, we've been extremely blessed, and we're extremely grateful for this wonderful community that we all have the privilege of serving. And it is amazing the number of things that we've learned just about giving, about nonprofit, about financing. It's been a great journey, Ray. And we've met some great people, including yourself and beautiful Sandra.
Thank you so
much. And, you know, we appreciate all the hard work you do in this community. And both of you give me a lot of inspiration as to why we're going to continue on, even at a greater level, relative to our opportunity to give back to this wonderful community.
This thing is so exciting to me. I'm trying to decide who to ask first on. Morgan, what made you do this?
Eeny, meeny, miny, Morgan.
All of them. I'm just so excited. Sorry about that.
So I grew up in a household of supporting local, supporting the little guys, right? And so my father owned a restaurant here in town for 37 plus years. Yes. And
yes.
So that's how I was raised, is, you know, customer service and community are top core values always. And then my mother comes from a career in real estate and nonprofit.
Right.
So this is in my blood. And so for me, my background is in helping startups and also in large scale event management.
Yeah.
So to me, my heart is here, but also I can bring this unique plethora of tools that I have.
You go, girl. Plethora.
To support something that matters.
Yes.
And so for me, like I've done so many things where it's like, okay, this is really great, but what are we actually doing? Right. So this has substance. Right. This is important.
That's awesome. I'm gonna cut in here. We're getting ready to go to break. So when we come back, we'll hear more about GIF. Hi, we are back from break here with the I Am Real Estate Show, Raymond Smith and Sandra Johnson, and our guest host, John McClain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every person sitting around this table right now, and there are a lot of us, every one of us is passionate about charity work.
Mm-hmm.
And giving back to the community and lifting people up. I think that we have to include that too. And so we were just talking with Morgan, who happens to be related to Sheila, which is not a bad thing. I've known Sheila for probably over 15 years, and she has always been involved in helping people and being involved in the community. So what was it that got you excited about partnering with Steve Ochoa here, another fine member of our community? What got you interested in partnering and starting down this path?
Well, first of all, who wouldn't want to be involved with Mr. Ochoa?
Exactly.
He has a huge heart and a very giving heart, and we're happy to be aligned. So that was a definite yes when we were talking. But we were talking about how can we give back and how can we be organized. And we had several organizations asking us to be on their boards.
Oh.
And we realized that we can't spread ourselves so thin, you know, to be on this board and that board when we have a mission to help so many people. Hmm. And all of those.
I think you're talking directly to Ray's soul on that one. But
I know you guys are on several boards and you guys are, you know, you work hard.
And they're deserving places.
They
and
are.
It's really hard to pick and choose. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
There are so many deserving organizations in this community.
But give them the answer to the problem, because it definitely seems like that's what you were able to encapsulate with your journey.
Yeah, so when we were thinking, you know, how would we pick and choose? How would we, you know, spend our time? And then we were, how about if we start our own nonprofit? And so, you know, deer's in the headlight, you know, the eyes, and it's just like, oh, well, how would we do that? And I have some experience with different nonprofits, and I took a little bit of knowledge from each place that I've worked, and we kind of brought it together and sat at the table at Tino's, and January 26th, we came up with GIFT, and it was actually 1:26 in the afternoon on January 26th, and it was just like, 1:26, and now we'll celebrate Sandra's birthday.
Every year. You won't forget
year.
Me.
Happy birthday, GIFT
forget.
And Sandra. Two cakes.
I love it, but it's a great way for us to come together. We can do the work. We don't actually do the events. We don't organize them. We don't, you know, it's up to the organization we partner with to do all of that. But we amplify and we help them, and we help them with their social media and sharing and all of the good stuff. And then we can match some funds that they're raising. So just think of us as, you know, the little...
Little internet could.
Thank you. I just lost my train. Perfect, Ray.
So you've had some events, and I have to mention that you, and thank you for participating in helping one of our previous guests, Jennifer Scott. We rented the Loft Theater and were able to do a private screening of a movie on suicide and depression. And you guys really were instrumental in helping us make that happen. But you've had some other events that you've amplified as well. So Morgan, do you want to speak to those?
Sure. I love the little engine that could. And this is a perfect example of amplification, is not everybody has the staff not everybody has the means or not everybody has the capacity to be doing events and fundraising and all these things. You know, they're focusing on their mission. And so if we can come in and we can offer a hand in one of those areas, that's what we can bring to the table. So one example is we partnered with a local food truck rally here in town. And so what we did was they had an organization that they wanted to support called the Tucson Family Food Project. And so what we did was we helped them create an amplified event. And so we came together on National Food Truck Day back in June. They had all of their food trucks on site. Everybody donated a little bit of their proceeds. We brought in raffle prizes. We sold raffle tickets. And everybody participated. And then Gift came in, matched the funds. And everybody has a social media presence, you know, and that's one of the beautiful things about food trucks is they're always on the move. So they're not a brick and mortar. They rely on social media. And so we created layer after layer after layer of amplified awareness for all of these organizations, in addition to Tucson Family Food Project, that this was all benefiting. And so that's one example of creating an amplified event. And then the feedback that we got from them when we handed them their check was like, this is the first fundraising event we've been able to do. We're such a small team, and it changed the trajectory of what they're able to do for the rest of the year.
It's interesting, just the way that you guys are structured. I have so much to learn about this organization because, like usual, one, Ray and Sandra bring powerhouses onto the show, but two, they just exposing me to amazing nonprofits. Like, I run a nonprofit myself for homeless veterans, and it just seems like you guys are almost like a nonprofit that helps organizations that are, like you're saying, don't really have the capacity to market. Like, you guys are like marketing expansion onto their own marketing, and kind of you connect them in a way that they're not going to get connected otherwise. So it's genius. I've never heard anything like it. And
thank you. Yeah, and that's Tucson. Like, that is the core, if we want to call it the ethos of Tucson, is it's like, this is not a competition. We want all of each other to win.
Yes.
So if we can come in and we can help you and every, you know, whatever organization we're partnering with expand their capacity to grow, that's what matters to us.
And the need is just so abundant. Like, whether it's nonprofits, which we have the most nonprofits per capita than any city in the United States, or just organizations in general that just, even mine, I mean, I'm a small nonprofit with maybe a staff of 3 or 4 at tops. Like, to be connected with another organization that can kind of give me that boom that, I mean, either I don't know how or just don't have the connections to get, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
We're here right now with Steve Ochoa, Sheila and Morgan Chonis. They are the co-founders of GIFT. And I want to talk to Steve a little bit about the Dino Endowment.
Well, the Dino Endowment is a very special endowment. And you know how they work is you take X amount of money. It's investing extremely well. And then you take the interest earned on the endowment base, and you distribute that for life.
Wow.
And so the great thing is we're honoring Sheila's husband, and we're also honoring Morgan's father through something that is extremely important, that his name will carry on for a lifetime here in Tucson. And I didn't know him, but I've heard so many wonderful stories about what a wonderful human being he is. And if we can just pass on the legacy, and it's through the endowment, then we're doing ourselves a big favor. Now, keep in mind that the money that we're going to contribute for the endowment is going to help grow that fund.
Right.
And so then we have the interest in terms of we're going to be able to fund other projects for GIFT and our alignment. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to give back, share, and privileged to do it in the name of a wonderful human being, William Dino Chonis.
Okay, and now you can't say that and not have me jump in, because Sheila and Dino were owners of Tino's Pizza and very well loved in this community.
Very well loved.
And I don't think there's anyone who wouldn't agree with that. And so what an awesome thing it is that you're doing. And And I think the family deserves that.
Thank you.
Everybody in the house right now is just a little teary-eyed. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, let me think. Okay. Going back to what we're talking about, what is the future now of GIFT? What is the next thing that you guys are going to do, or what are you planning for that we need to let people know about?
Well, it's twofold. Mm-hmm. It's that generational giving, okay. And that's building and growing this endowment and the memorial fund.
Uh-huh.
And that's creating our amplified events. So we're beginning our fundraising for this year and next year so that we can... There's the two folds, is so that we can contribute to amplifying other organizations, and then we can grow this endowment that's giving in perpetuity forever.
Morgan, do you have the website off the top of your head? I want to hear it again. We'll try to say it again at the end of the show too. I want to keep hearing so people can.
Of course, yeah. I do. GIFTArizona.org, uh-huh. And then specifically GIFTArizona.org/support will go through all the ways that you can join us. And then if you're interested in partnering with an amplified event, you can go to giftarizona.org/inquiry and you can submit a form for us about nominating an organization that you would like to see us partner with.
Nice.
Hey, Steve, you got any lasting words you'd like to add?
Well, first of all, we appreciate you very much, both you and Sandra, not only for having us on this wonderful show, but I really admire you for the way you've conducted your business.
Thank you, sir.
You're seen everywhere in Tucson. Every mm-hmm. organization that I've had the pleasure of going sees you, Sandra, on the microphone directing your great efforts and your great energy to wonderful people in the community. So on behalf of a grateful Tucson, Arizona community, I want to thank you and Sandra and our co-host, John, over there for all the things he's doing with his nonprofit. And we wish you nothing but great success, clear skies, and beautiful, smooth sailing.
Okay, and as we're closing out, I cannot miss my opportunity to mention that Morgan is also an author, and I can't say the full title, but it's Unraveling the BS, so please look her up. I haven't read it yet, but I think that's going to have to be my next buy. We want to thank our sponsors, Horizon Inspections, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, the Arizona Sands Club, Rego Pest Prevention, Atomic Nutrition, and Sweet Little Chefs. They are the ones that make this all possible. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being with us today. We appreciate you guys and the work you're doing in this community.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
GIFT is great.